This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's impounded at the moment. So until there's a change in the law, cannot go beyond what the law applies. But what my message is that we need to find solutions towards this new technology. As far as we know, any providers of taxis need to operate within the law. And my officers are doing what they are within the law. But having said that, as I mentioned, we understand the solutions provided by Uber and GrabCar and the sentiments of the people relating to it. I think we must find a solution towards that. Taking into account, at the end of the day, rakyat's needs comes first and foremost.
That was Mohammad Azharuddin Matsa, CEO of the Land and Public Transport Commission, or SPAD, commenting on the legality of Uber and GrabCar services. Over the past few weeks, many Uber and GrabCar drivers have been harassed, arrested, and handed over to the authorities by local taxi drivers. Conventional taxi operators claim these ride-booking services are illegal and have affected their rice bowl. In the wake of the standoff, SPAD insists that ride-sharing services without public service vehicle licenses are illegal and has seized over 150 vehicles since October last year. Ironically, they also maintain that Uber and GrabCar apps themselves are legal in Malaysia. Leong Sing Fung is the general manager of Uber Kuala Lumpur. He confirms that Uber is working with Malaysian authorities to change the existing regulatory model.
In every single city that we operate in, we believe that we're committed to a few set of values. We like to say that we're pro-city, pro-rider, pro-driver partner. That means we actually utilize our strategy and our technology to try and provide the safest and most reliable rides to riders in the city. Right? We want to utilize our technology to be able to help urban mobility in any country that we operate in. So in terms of the legal situation, what we're really looking at here is how do we work together with government in order to work on innovation and actually changing regulatory models in order for the people to benefit from innovation and technology in the way that it helps improve urban mobility. So the key here is not so much about the legality. The key here that we really want to focus on is, as a technology company, how do we work with regulators, work with government to actually help countries, help cities fully benefit from our technologies.
He believes the far-reaching benefits of ride-booking services are in fact helping the government and the people.
These benefits can be seen through multiple angles. One of them is obviously when with ride sharing, we see congestion being reduced. We see traffic improving. We see, for example, more people sharing cars rather than driving themselves. That in itself creates more space to be used for other purposes and helps improve congestion. Number two, our technology also helps create economic opportunities. Across every single city that we operate in and countries that we operate in, economic opportunities in terms of growth and job opportunities, growth and income. These are real benefits that countries realize. And finally, in countries where, for example, the public transportation as a modal share is low in terms of the number of people actually using public transportation, urban mobility is a real problem because there isn't necessarily access to affordable, reliable transportation options, and we try and change that. And here is, how do we work together with government who are obviously committed to public safety, who are committed to providing better transportation options to make this a reality?
Leon also clarifies a common misconception that Uber is unsafe and does not insure its riders.
The key here is safety and accountability. These are the core principles that any transportation system should adhere to. So let me talk about safety. Safety means that, you know, drivers should be going through a background check. They should be going through a driving history check. And this should happen on a regular basis. Safety should also mean that, for example, during a ride, the trip in itself should be insured. And, you know, on the Uber platform, every time someone is on an UberX trip, there is a contingent liability policy up to R1 million, which covers third parties and passengers in the case of any potential contingent accident. So there is a common misconception. So the primary insurance policy will often cover third parties as well as any vehicular damages, for example. That will be the primary insurance policy that any driver will pay for. What we have in place is what we call a contingent liability policy, that in the case there are any accidents or mishaps, and should the primary insurance not cover it, there will be a secondary insurance policy that kicks into place.
Local taxi operators have lamented the fact that ride booking services are not required to go for vehicle inspections every 6 months, like how taxis are regulated. Leon, however, claims Uber's rating system is more efficient and transparent while ensuring their vehicles remain in top condition.
Accountability is a very important aspect of this. So first of all, we ensure that all these cars have the right primary insurance policy on it. That means that these are cars that are legalized to be on the road. That's the primary thing. And secondly, like I said, accountability is such a big thing where the ratings happen after every single trip. We don't want to wait 6 months. We don't want to wait a year. We don't want to wait 3 months. What we want is after every single trip, we get live feedback in terms of the condition of the vehicle. That means the riders are responsible for being the checkpoints. They need to be honest. These kind of checkpoints and rating systems allow us to maintain that certain level of quality of vehicles that are on the system.
How is Uber planning to protect its drivers from the ongoing suppression by taxi operators and the authorities?
Across the 350 cities that we operate in as a technology company, we are 100% committed to our partner drivers. That means we constantly seek to continuously create economic opportunities for every single one of these partner drivers. And on top of that, we want to protect these economic opportunities for them to ensure that they have a level playing field that can continuously benefit from using our technology to benefit themselves in an economic way and improve the standard of living. That doesn't change in any of the cities that we're in, and we're continuously committed to that.
Leon believes that Uber is unlikely to quit its business in Malaysia despite the pressure from certain groups. He points out that it shares the same aspirations with the regulators in serving the people better.
Look, I think first of all, I have to say that we're very optimistic that the kind of government agencies as well as the regulators, ultimately, they will be looking after the interests of Malaysians. I think that's the primary focus here. So we're optimistic that first of all, from a regulatory standpoint, that we're going to see kind of innovative changes that embraces technology that will act in the interest of consumers. That to us, the interest of consumers in Malaysia are at the forefront of what we're committed to. So in that aspect, we're very optimistic that first of all, we're going to see positive change. But what you talk about is not so much about kind of regulatory issues, right? What you talk about is when disruptive technology such as Uber creates additional competition in traditional industries where previously there wasn't much competition, you're going to have vested interests. You're going to start having certain stakeholders who might not necessarily warm up to the competitive pressure. And my point to that is, I think competition is needed in any single industry. Competition is needed to keep prices competitive. Competition is needed to keep quality up to a certain level. Without competition, there will always be certain inefficiencies that will lead to consumers losing out. And I think, you know, as long as people are pro-competition and pro-innovation, Uber will be here to stay.
Leon also played down reports that SPAD is undertaking a major crackdown on Uber and its drivers.
First of all, media statements could be quite misleading. As far as I'm aware, the technology company will continue to operate as usual. We'll continue seeing a strong growth in the number of partner drivers on the system as well as the number of riders on the system. So ultimately, from our point of view, we want to continue serving our community of riders. We want to continue providing them with a safe and reliable access to partner drivers using our technology. And, you know, based on what we've seen over the past few weeks, we continue to see strong growth, not only in terms of the community of riders, but in fact, right, in the number of partner drivers who are coming onto our platform to embrace such economic opportunities. And let's say, to be honest, I'm very encouraged with the numbers that we're seeing.
That was Leon Sing Fung, the general manager of Uber Kuala Lumpur. And earlier we heard from SPAD CEO Azharuddin Matsa. BFM has yet to receive a response from SPAD on its next course of action. I'm Jason Lim, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.